You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and it's Dave. And all I can say is absurd, ridiculous, and a farce. And no, I'm not just talking about what listeners to Packers Therapy think of the show. I'm talking about the field in Winnipeg and that whole episode in Canada. I mean, geez, Dave, I know you watched the game with the lovely feed from Oakland.
Oh, it's so brutal. They're interviewing their stars. I don't recognize them. But, you know, they have Rich Gannon on. I thought Rich Gannon was one of our guys.
He did, and he was – I think it was this year that Lofton replaced him, and I'm not sure what the deal was there. It's kind of odd because both of those guys have connections to Oakland, because, you know, Gannon was the quarterback and Lofton was he played for them, plus he was, I think, receivers coach there for a while. But anyway, I'm gonna like James. He's not quite Max McGee, you know, on the radio, you know, back in the day.
Oh, those were good days.
Oh, those were good days.
Yeah.
But James seems like he's having a good time, and even though I couldn't pick him out of a lineup because he looks so different than he did when he was playing for the Packers. Hey, but I look different in those days too, so that's, I'm going to give him a break. Yeah. It was definitely a farce. The 80-yard field, I'd never seen anything like that. And the fact that what Oakland left 30-plus guys back in California. And then what was really rich was after the game, Gruden, you know, trying to lay it off on the Packers. He said the shortened field was more Green Bay's decision. I'm not going to make a big deal about the field. We like the field. We thought the field was perfectly ready to roll. You have to ask Green Bay about that.
Yeah.
Okay. If they were so happy with the field, A, why did they leave so many guys back in Oakland? And B, why didn't they play their starters if they were so excited about it? Anyway, you know, that was kind of a douchebag move. But the point is, you know, for 20,000 people that showed up, yeah, they took their money. They probably should have given it back. That was just weird. Really absurd, ridiculous, and a farce is about the best that I can say about it.
Well, someone must have gotten fired over the thing, because did they just consider the fact that the goalpost is in the middle of the end zone before game time? They moved it back and they had that hole there and they figured that was going to be fine? I don't understand how that just came up so that wasn't something that was addressed during the week. Did they talk about that at all, about sort of getting behind the scenes of this and investigating what happened there?
No, they really didn't. I mean, now again, this is the equivalent of state-owned television, right? So yeah. They're not going to be too critical of the regime. but I thought the biggest problem, aesthetically, it looked bad, of course, but I guess it was raised a little bit, so it wasn't flush with the rest of the surface. So, as you know, I can just see a guy, you know, doing a crossing pattern in the end zone and tripping over that thing and ending his season, ending his career. You know, they were probably right, not to use the end zone. But the deal is that even though it's out of the end zone, guys were still running through it all the time.
Yeah.
Because you're not just there. It's like a force field that stops you, you know, at what was the goal line before you got into the end zone. So it was still dangerous. And I heard somebody say on a podcast, and I forget who it was and which one I was listening to, but they made a really good point in saying, yeah, this field is way too dangerous for our starters, but we'll put these other guys out there.
Yeah. I wonder if there was any decision to just say, we don't want to play, and the NFL just came down and said, you will play. get somebody out there. Yeah,
that had to be it. Yeah.
I mean, we played through your worst field. Remember the Carolina game where the field? Oh. I mean, people blew out knees on that thing. But you know what's so crazy is I'm not an athlete and I don't stretch. None of that. But if someone said that we would play football, I'd probably try my best. I'd be on a grass field that's bumpy. There might be a sidewalk in the middle. I wouldn't think twice about that. But put a little bump on an NFL field, I feel like those precious gems of players, be so careful. If they step on that bump, their knee's going to explode. It's funny. If it were me, I'd think big deal. But for them, everything has to be just so precise. When you're definitely the grass guy, so it must have really bothered you.
Well, it wasn't grass. It was field turf.
Right,
so
but just
that's
even imperfect
really
turf.
That's outside of my expertise, Dave. You have to understand that.
Oh, I thought you were a little bit more well-rounded than grass.
I go with either real grass or some of the hybrids, but when we start getting into complete field turf, I mean, I just don't have time for that.
Just not interested. I'm sorry.
That's why I draw the line, Dave. I have certain standards that I adhere to.
I'm surprised about that, too.
Yeah, well, as well you should be. I want to read something that a guy from The Athletic wrote, and I mainly want to do it because probably nobody else is reading The Athletic because it's an absurd amount of money to pay. But anyway, Matt Schneidman writes he's taken over for the guy who used to write for the Journal Sentinel, who wrote a year for The Athletic before he flew the coop. Yep. Michael Cohen.
Michael Cohen.
So this guy has replaced him, and this is what he had to say, starting off an article that just came out Saturday morning. Folks, I have an announcement. Regular season football is only 12 days away. That's right. The Bears host the Packers in less than 2 weeks to kick off the season. And after witnessing the debacle of a football game, which should have been in quotation marks, in Winnipeg on Thursday night, September 5th cannot come soon enough. And I think that's a great take, because the best thing you can say about the game that was played in Winnipeg is that it's over. There's one practice game left. And we are just less than 2 weeks away from the start of when the games matter. And this has been a consistent theme for us throughout this preseason area, is how these games have become less and less interesting, less meaningful. Now, I'm sure they're useful to the teams in evaluating talent, but you don't even need four games for that. You see these guys every day in practice. It's getting to the point where this is kind of bordering on unwatchable for me.
It really is. You know what I didn't miss, though, in this game in particular was the kickoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Did you, just starting on the 25-yard line, I felt like I'm perfectly fine with this. Why did you miss it at all, or did that get that set?
Yeah. I was glad. I thought, in fact, we talked last year on the podcast about an idea, and I forget who came up with it. Somebody in the NFL circles was saying,
the fourth down, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Make it, after you score, you get fourth down at the 35, fourth and 15, at the 35-yard line, I think it is. And, you know, then you can either punt from there or you can go for it and retain the ball. I like that idea. It's more entertaining. Kickoffs, with all the restrictions that they have on them now, are not interesting any longer. It's hard to onside kick in those situations. Heck, I mean, I thought that was maybe the one good thing about the 80-yard field, is that they did away with the kickoff and just give the team the ball. And I guess it was technically the 15-yard line, because you put it at the 25, and if the goal line's the 10, well, it's complicated. But still, it was much better than, you know, going through this ridiculous wasted exercise. Because even when the guy returns the ball, it seems like there's always a penalty of some kind.
Right.
You know, so they either kick it out of the end zone, or they kick it to the guy, and there's a holding penalty or a, you know, block in the back or some other kind of thing that slows the game down and makes it more ugly. So maybe that's the one good thing. Maybe the NFL could see that, you know, we really don't need kickoffs.
Yeah, that's what this game will live forever, is the game that they finally made a decision to get rid of the kickoff. But I didn't miss that. It was interesting that it's down on the 12. You know, they're in the shadow of their end zone on the 12-yard line or 11-yard line. It's so strange to still see field behind what. And anyway, yeah, it was very odd. But you know, when you talk about the preseason, and what I used to find interesting is, you know, who's going to make the team, what kind of plays are going to, you know, how does Favre look or things like that. this preseason, I think I know nothing about what the team's going to do on Thursday against the Bears. It's a complete mystery. I don't know how Rodgers is doing. I don't know who the starters are going to be for wide receivers or who's going to be the third and fourth. Will they run more? Are they going to – they had a little bit of misdirection kind of plays against the Raiders. They had sort of like the – I don't know if you call it a jet sweep, but they had a – they handed off to Trevor Davis. And
yeah,
and they
had a big game, yeah.
And then they had one way they did a fake and then ran the other way or threw the other way. And I thought, oh, that's definitely different. So are we going to see more of that? But I don't know if I have any clue other than there's a handful of guys I think are interesting and might make the team. I'm kind of excited to see them play with Rodgers or be on the first team defense. But it's a mystery.
Want to play with Rodgers? Oh, my God. I don't think I want to see that at all.
No, that's not what I meant.
I don't think you know what you meant. At your age, creeping, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Alzheimer's is not a pretty thing, Dave. Let me tell
you. Yes.
But what is good, though, is there's one practice game left. The cutdown date's coming up. That's kind of the next big milestone event is September 1st, 3 o'clock. That's the cutdown deadline. But we have to get through Kansas City. In the meantime, I don't expect we're going to see anybody, Dave, play this coming Thursday.
Nope.
I would imagine it's going to be kind of a replay of what we saw in Winnipeg, except presumably on a 100-yard field, and maybe there will be a better sound effect on third downs for the opposition than the USS Green Bay. Let's just hope that they have something. And one of our listeners actually wrote in, I believe it was Pedro the Trash Man, wrote in with an idea that we'll get to later on when we get to some of the listener mail and what they can do for a sounder on third downs. So I think all we can really do is maybe go through the 53 a little bit and using Matt Schneidman's template that he came out with on Saturday morning as a way to talk about it. We can run through the roster and at the same time we can comment on some of the things we saw in the Raiders game. Is that like a plan to you?
That sounds good.
All right, well, let's start with quarterbacks. And he thinks Matt thinks that they're going to go with three, and one of them is not Manny Wilkins, who we haven't seen much of. And I think he's a developmental guy anyway. Do you think the Packers will keep three quarterbacks? And what did you think of the play of Tim Boyle in Winnipeg?
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good, and it's interesting that he was the starter. But I don't know if in a third game on a practice field, an 80-yard field, you go with the third string, not the second. But I thought Boyle looked a lot better than Kaiser. He kind of stands in the pocket better. I thought he makes quicker decisions. And Kaiser is a lot like Hundley last year. It seems like they ran into pressure and it just kind of couldn't get rid of the ball. So I'm not seeing any improvement on Kaiser. Maybe this wasn't a fair game to critique him. I think it's Boyle would be my number two. I thought he played pretty good, or they got to pick someone else up. If Kaiser is their number two and they really think he's got still upside, I'm just not seeing it.
Well, there's some talk about Brian Hoyer becoming available. I guess he's perhaps in some roster trouble in New England, and he may become available, and he's played in this system before. That will be interesting to see if the Patriots do cut him, if the Packers make a play to bring him in. Tim Boyle, I'm not sure why they went with him. Maybe just because the week before Kaiser got a chance to play with play first, and he played with the first team, and they wanted to give Boyle the chance to play first. And I thought once a couple series went by, he looked pretty good. I think they might have scored on three consecutive possessions. The guy stands in the pocket well. He throws a nice ball. But it's difficult to say what you're really looking at because the guys he was playing with and the guys he was playing against, you know, are not going to be what you're facing if they need him in the fourth game of the season if Aaron Rodgers goes down. But in terms of just the classic quarterback, he does seem to have it over Kaiser. I'm not sure how much the offense that's being installed, which we really haven't seen yet, is favoring a more mobile quarterback like Kaiser. If the system favors that, then maybe he's a better choice. But based on what I've seen, Kaiser doesn't stick in the pocket as long, and I think this offense is supposed to be more predicated on, staying in the pocket, getting rid of the ball, and, you know, not trying to extend plays the way Rodgers has traditionally done and like Kizer seemed to do last year. So right now, if they keep Kizer, he might be their third string quarterback, but do you keep that guy if he's only the best he is as the third string quarterback? I mean, don't you maybe use that roster spot somewhere else?
Yeah, that's a very good question. But as you say, you know, there's someone else maybe out there that they like and they'd want to keep, continue to develop Boyle. So there's where I could see you keep three.
Right.
But as we go through the roster here, there might be a position that we want to keep another person. Like wide receiver, I think there's going to be some tough cuts there. But, you know, New England, I think, needs wide receivers. I know they've – I think they're light there. So if they have an extra quarterback, we have an extra receiver, that might be a good trade. But why don't we go on? I just felt like there's – when Boyle is playing, when Rodgers is playing, when other quarterbacks are playing, there's a little less chaos. And, I mean, Kizer is – should be a good runner, but it feels like it's just a lot more chaotic when he's quarterback. Now, he was with the third string toward the end of the game, but yeah, I'm just not feeling it with Kizer.
Well, there's one thing I will say about him, which I tend to forget. This, again, wasn't my idea. Somebody else had raised it. You know, Kizer, this is his third season in the NFL, but he's only like 23 years old. This is in baseball when you are evaluating players. One thing they always comment on is how old is he for the league that he is in. So, you know, you can have a guy whose, you know, numbers aren't terrific at, you know, Class A minor league ball, but he's only 19 years old. And so that guy is probably a better prospect than the cat who's 21 years old and having a lot better numbers at the same level. And that may be the case with Kizer, that, you know, dude is still, you know, essentially the age a lot of guys are when they come out of college. Mm-hmm. And so he is an unfinished product in lots of ways. He's played in the NFL a couple of years, but, you know, he's still a young guy. Do you think, is it possible that they need to be patient with this guy, develop him, because he is still really young, and they'll be glad that they did because he can be a solid second-string guy, but it's going to take more development. It's going to take a couple more seasons for him to realize the potential that he has.
Maybe, but he just can't be your backup because Rodgers has gotten hurt. You want a quarterback that can come in and if you, let's say this year we have a pretty good defense, a running game's decent, but if we get just, you know, Kizer comes in and just stinks up the place and we just lose, that'd be terrible. So I don't think he could be our backup now. If you want to keep him and keep working with him, fine. I would keep Boyle, just from what I've seen, but there's so much more that we don't know in the practice. And, you know, there is the idea, too, that this is Kizer's third different offense that he's been playing under.
Right.
And so he's not had a consecutive year to sort of improve on one. That's all probably very fair. The eye test for me when I watch him play, I don't feel very confident.
Now, you were watching the Oakland feed. Did you happen to see any of the Packers sideline stuff, like when John Kuhn was interviewing Aaron Rodgers? Did you get
nothing?
A chance?
In fact, I never once saw them show the floor. They showed Chucky on the other side constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be like a four-yard run, and they'd show him, and it looked like, you know, there's an outrageous play that just got called against him. And he just always has that look of disgust. I went to the condensed version pretty quickly on the NFL.com.
Well, if you were getting up every day at 3:45, you know, like Chucky does, you know, you'd be crazy too. So
yeah, I suppose.
I don't know then if you can comment on this, you know, Kuhn, you know, did a little, you know, slap and tickle type interview with Aaron Rodgers, you know, just a couple of guys hanging, you know. But the thing was, I don't know if it was the sweatshirt that Rodgers had on or what. Man, the guy looked gaunt. I mean, hell, Abraham Lincoln thought Aaron Rodgers looked gaunt, you know? He didn't look I don't want to say he didn't look healthy. And it wasn't just the damn mustache either. He did look healthy, but he looked healthy in the way of a
marathon runner.
Yeah, of an endurance athlete. I mean, he looked slight, and again, it could have been because the sweatshirt, you know, he had was big or whatever, and he didn't seem like the kind of guy who was going to hold up well against Khalil Mack. You know, he looked a little fragile. Now, I would imagine he's got very little body fat, and he's, you know, he's as tuned as a guy who's 35 years old can be. But that's for living I'm just wondering about, you know, for taking the abuse of the NFL. He just didn't look physically robust to me. But who knows? It just that impression that I got. I was uncomfortable looking at him because I kept thinking, are you going to make it through a season? You know, you look small.
Yeah. Well, he is dating a race car driver, so I don't know, you know, what kind of routine he's got to go through for that.
Do you think that maybe she's chasing him around with, you know, some kind of an Indy car going around the track? And
yeah, it could be. Yeah. The mind races.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Okay. So anyway, enough about the quarterbacks, I suppose. We can go to the running backs. Hopefully the Oakland feed allowed you to see the Packers side of the game, right? I mean, it wasn't just the Raiders playing. They did show the Packers side. So
I did. Right? I could make out numbers. Yeah.
Okay, but good. Excellent.
Very, very little. I can't wait. Even though it's a fourth preseason game, it'll be better for me to get the Green Bay feed at least.
Thank God. Well, the thing of Matt, dude from Athletic, he says they'll keep three backs, and you can imagine two of them are Jones and Jamal Williams, but he thinks they'll keep Trey Carson over Dexter Williams. What do you think about that one?
I don't know what to make of that, because I'm looking at the Packer Wire mid-preseason edition of the same thing, and they have three backs with Dexter Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, Trey Carson is definitely getting the start, and he looked good for this game. The other games, I thought he was very run into the pile, and that was it.
Yeah.
But this, I thought, and he caught a screen that I thought he adjusted to the blocking really well. I was a lot more impressed with him this game than the others, and I thought Dexter Williams had a higher ceiling. I was really intrigued by him, but yeah, I could certainly see that happening. I think a lot would have to be his durability. And maybe they want to consider that because the other two backs are hurt a lot. And then maybe they feel they could slide Dexter Williams to the practice squad, you know, if there's some consideration there. But I think Trey Carson seems like a higher floor, lower ceiling, and Dexter Williams has a lower floor, higher ceiling. I'm not sure what their strategy is, given the other two's injury history. So I guess it's between those two. I think that's the fair thing. And I would have thought Dexter Williams, but Trey Carson looked good. And I don't recall when they picked him up. Did he play on their preseason last year?
No, I think he might have been with someone else. I think he's got a couple of years in the league, I think. I think they picked him up in the offseason. Probably should have our crack research team look at that. But I think your assessment's correct, though, that Carson has a higher floor and a lower ceiling than Dexter Williams. But Williams, I think, can be taught to pass block. I think he can be, well, I don't know if you can teach him to catch, but I do think that he can improve at that particular skill. I think there's way too much talent there, and you can see when he's got the ball under his arm that this is a guy with a lot of explosion, and I think he can be a good player. He's got talent. I would think that as your third running back, I think you want to keep that guy and not run the risk of losing him. He was a draft choice, and you know there are people out there who will, you know, gamble on that kind of talent. So I will be very interested to see, because this is the classic situation of, do you go with a guy who is going to be more solid, more predictable, or do you go with the guy that has a lot more potential down the line? And I think they might view right now Dexter Williams as being kind of a coach killer who's going to tease you and you stick with him, but he doesn't reward it. And they could be right. I mean, they could try to cut him and sneak him through the practice squad. I don't think he's going to make it that far, though, if they do cut him.
Yeah, wasn't the knock on him, too, is that the running game that they have, it's a one cut and go, and Dexter right. Williams kind of dances around a little bit, where Carson maybe fits that mold a little bit better. Maybe that could be it, but and quarterback is different. Like, there I want a more steady person, but running back, I think I'd want a more higher upside, even if it hurts you a little bit. But do we know Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams' status for the Bears game?
Yeah, I think they're both expected to be ready. I don't think we'll see, again, either one playing against Kansas City on Thursday. But that is an issue, though. I mean, those two guys have had injuries in the preseason and in the past, and so your third running back is, you know, might be more important than it would be on some teams where you can expect that you're going to have your top two guys. This, to me, is one of the more interesting decisions that they have to make by September 1st. Less interesting is what they're going to do at fullback. I think Danny Vitale is going to be the guy that they're going to wind up going with. The early season comment on him was real strong. I know he's had a calf injury the past couple of weeks, but and I know they want a fullback on the team, but I can't imagine them keeping two. So I imagine they'll just keep him as the fullback. Do you have any other thoughts on that?
Well, the Packers Wire 1 does have them keeping two fullbacks and keeping Malcolm Johnson, who I'm just becoming aware of his name right now. Did he make the stat line at all? I do not see him anywhere. But the rationale there is they say, without a doubt, the fullback position has value and importance in the LaFleur offense. Keeping two, especially two as versatile as Vitale and Johnson, makes sense. It safeguards against having only three running backs. So, you know, they're special teamer kind of guys. I don't know what the offense is going to be like because we haven't seen much. Maybe the fullback is super important. I think it's Vitale, not Fatale, right?
I think it's Fatale, yeah. Basis of this podcast, Dave, he's Vitale, okay?
Okay. It seems like they really like him, but I've seen hardly anything from him. I'm excited. He looks like this big, strong dude. I want to see him light up Mac or something. It would be awesome. So I'm really interested to see a fullback in the offense. It felt like, you know, with William Henderson and John Kuhn, there's been some highlights over the years of a fullback with Rodgers and Favre, you know, getting a key third down or, you know, just an unexpected pass to, and he just runs for 10, 15 yards. I'm kind of excited to see the fullback back in the offense. Are you?
Well, it depends on who the fullback is. I mean, based on what I've seen of Danny V, he looks like the kind of guy who might have the potential to make a couple of plays, like the guys that you mentioned, you know, William Henderson or going with John Kuhn. But I don't think you need two of those guys on the roster. I know he's had the calf injury, but I don't have any reason to believe he's injury prone. So keep the one guy and let him be, you know, a blocking back, a guy who can catch. I mean, from what I understand, that the guy can catch. He's a good athlete, besides being a weight room guy. I think he's the kind of guy you want to have. I just don't know if you need two of them is my whole deal on him. So, yeah, let him go. Let him be a part of the offense. I don't know how much he'll carry, but when it comes to receiving, yeah. I thought there's a lot of times, especially when William Henderson was playing, where, you know, he was available when you needed those 6 yards on third down. You know, he would get you the seven on the little swing pass type deal. And I think that's a good strategy.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that works out, but at least two does seem a stretch to me. So I would go with what your prediction is, a one fullback with Danny Vitale.
So when it comes to Trey Carson, by the way, I did look up his background. He was with the Bengals. I mean, the guy's 26,
okay.
So he's, you know, he's not inexperienced. Signed by the Bengals, undrafted free agent in 2016. He spent that year on their practice squad. Got promoted late in the season to the active roster. In 2017, he was on injured reserve. 2018, he was waived injured by the Bengals with a hamstring injury and then released in September of 2018. So he's kind of been one of those guys kind of dancing back and forth between the practice squad, the regular roster, injured reserve. He's been around the league for 3 seasons. This would be, I guess, his fourth season in professional football. I'm not sure that is the kind of profile that I got. You know, I got to have this guy, especially when he's been hurt bad enough to be on injured reserve a couple of times. So based on what I read there, I'm all the more interested in keeping the rookie that you drafted, and it's got the high upside.
You know, one thing that Hard Knocks and the series on Amazon has taught me is what are their personalities like in the locker room?
Oh, yeah.
We talk about the ceilings and the floors, but then in the meeting rooms, you know, how mentoring other guys, you know, just this guy just is a real pain in the neck. I can't stand him. You know, is that come into play at all? And it just, there's no way we can know that unless the Packers ever do Hard Knocks, which would be awesome. But you wonder if that ever comes into play and we see a decision like taking Carson is, you know, we want someone a little bit more mature in the room. So we'll have to see, but I think if I had to choose based on my limited information, I probably would pick Dexter Williams as well. But after this game, I don't think I'd be too disappointed to see Carson as the three.
You know, more interesting maybe is the situation at wide receiver, you know, where they have a lot of guys that seem to have talent, but roster spots are precious. So the guy in The Athletic, Matt from The Athletic, thinks they'll keep seven, which I was thinking six, but he's thinking seven. He thinks they will keep Adams, MVS, Allison, White Jesus, EQ, we'll talk about that in a second, Trevor Davis and Alan Lazard. Surprisingly, he thinks Darius Shepard and Jamon Moore are out, along with Teal Redding and Malik Taylor. So those guys are less surprising. First, Dave, do you think that they will keep seven? And if so, which seven do you think they'll keep?
If I would list it without thinking of the number, I would have thought they keep eight, because I think you keep Adams, MVS, and Allison. Now, after Trevor Davis, I thought he had a really strong game, and he's your gunner. I think Trevor Davis is on the team. Yeah. Right. I would have thought you keep Lazard and Shepard, because they look great to me. But it's one of those all August, you know, type players potentially. But yeah. Darius Shepard looks like a young Randall Cobb. He's sort of that size and catches everything and just, you know, very effective. I like him too. And then I guess EQ is he probably has a high upside as well, and I'm probably not ready to. I would have thought at the end of last year he definitely makes a team. But what I've seen, and then when he got injured, which you probably know a little bit more than me and his status, but I'd almost think you'd keep eight when you add that all together. I mean, Kumerow, I think, is every game he plays, he makes a play. Again, it seems to come down to, now, Packers Wired has Shepard over Lazard. I know Lazard is taller. And I don't know if there's speed, but, man, Shepard looks really good to me. Catches just about everything. So I know you can't keep eight. You got to make some decisions here. But, I like Shepard a lot.
Yeah, he had that great catch along the sidelines in the farce that was the Oakland game. So the guy's got some talent. He can return kicks, and that's an interesting analogy to Randall Tex Cobb, that they do have a lot in common. I hadn't really thought about that. I will say that I came into this game with a bias against Trevor Davis, and it goes to the game that we saw against Detroit, Dave, a couple of years ago, where, you know, Trevor Davis is his rookie year, and he played like a rookie. You know, he dropped a ball that was right in his gut, and, you know, he screwed up on a play downfield. I mean, it's unfair, but that was kind of a sticky memory. He looked absolutely great. He looked like a field tilter against the second teamers that he was playing against. In fact, I would bet that field was tilted.
Exactly.
So anyway, I think he definitely made the team with his performance, albeit, you know, under those circumstances. Kumerow's been nothing but solid. I mean, he's a guy that you have to keep. Allison, absolutely. MVS, that goes without saying, and of course our buddy Devontae. When it comes to EQ, the way I understand the rules is this. St. Brown, who, by the way, I want to say he is now a martyr after that ugly injury that he sustained.
So we could have a St. Brown? We could. I'm getting there. I know
you work for a Catholic organization.
Yeah, I jumped the gun. Yep.
He has sacrificed himself for the faithful of Packer Nation. He's on his way now because of his martyrdom to beatification, which will lead to him becoming actually St. Brown. While there is still no St. Brown, there could very well be, as a result of his martyrdom in Winnipeg.
Well, if he comes back in week one and catches a touchdown, I'd call that a miracle. And that would qualify.
Yeah. I think you have to have two, though, I think.
Two miracles? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he'll get one in the second game, too.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
So he looks like he has a high ankle sprain. They talk about that being a six-week injury, so maybe 4 weeks into the regular season. So the decision becomes interesting. Do you put him on the roster, and you have to have him on the final 53, before you put him on IR to come back halfway through the year. That's what the rule is. You can have two guys from IR that come back. You might say St. Brown could resurrect himself after that bad ankle injury. So you can't put him on IR now because then he's done for the season. But if he's on the final 53 and then goes on IR, he can come back. The other option they have, and I'm not sure how I feel about this, is that they could just keep him on the active roster and have him be one of their 7 game day inactives, which to me is a waste when you have other situations you need to address. And high ankle sprains, I know they say 6 weeks. I can recall these guys having high ankle sprains that lasted 3 months.
Yeah.
So I would be uncomfortable if they went with the strategy of we're going to carry him on the active roster and just make him inactive on game day. So I think he makes the final. I think they put him on IR, and then they try to get somebody like a Shepherd, the Good Shepherd perhaps, to become one of their active guys. But I don't know if Shepherd would last, if they cut him. Would somebody else grab him before they could put him on the active roster to replace St. Brown? There's a lot of moving pieces. I know a number of people say don't get seduced by Shepherd's good play in August because, you know, he's got like a 4.6 40 and he's short. He's not Randall Cobb in terms of talent. Don't be fooled, and don't use a roster spot for a guy that has been Mr. August.
Well, if you've got the Good Shepherd and White Jesus, is it as Alan Lazarus? Lazard is.
I think it's Alan Lazarus and took to go along with St. Brown. It's absolutely a perfect religious configuration.
it is. Now, what do you think about this idea? Every once in a while, they make a surprise cut. What would you think if they cut Geronimo Allison and kept Lazard and Shepherd?
Oh, my God. Oh, that would be absolutely shocking. I think what would be most shocking about a thing like that is, because this is a guy that the quarterback likes. He's all about Geronimo Allison. And that's a fascinating idea because there is always that one surprise cut. I think it's going to be Lane Taylor. We haven't gotten to the blockers yet, but I think Lane Taylor is going to be that surprise cut. But Allison's interesting too. It's fascinating because Lazard is kind of like Allison. He's lanky. He's an undrafted free agent kind of guy. That's interesting, Dave. I don't think it will happen. But if it does, I'll send you $20.
All right. Well, we're on. Because I just look at the list. There's no way they're going to get rid of Adams, MVS. And then everyone else is kind of in that same place, at least for performance in these last three games. And, Allison, I think you know what you have there. The rest are question marks in terms of how good they could be. So I'm just curious, as a GM and looking out to the future, would you possibly take your guys? Wah! Oh, I thought a bug just landed on me.
what are you, like a 12-year-old girl or something? What is this?
It was something black thing fell on me. it looked like a big spider. We'll get Surly to take that out. I've lost my train of thought.
Well, you were talking about the receivers.
Yeah.
And
I'm not going to talk bad about this group anymore because they're so saintly. As soon as I start to talk bad about them, the spider drops on me. So
see, well, now that could be a message right there.
Yeah. I think they have a 12-man wide receiver makes the roster. Yeah.
I think they'll go with six. I think Lazard will probably wind up trying to get snuck into the practice squad. I like the guy. I like, as they say, you can't coach size, and he's got good size. But I think Lazard and Shepherd are both probably on the outside looking in. They'll put St. Brown on injured reserve. They'll try to bring one of those guys back in the interim. But, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do there as well as at running back. Less interesting is tight end. Matt has him down for keeping 4, Graham, Tanya, and Lewis, and Sternberger. I think they'll do that. I think they wasted, or I'm sorry, not wasted, they used a 4th-round or 3rd-round pick perhaps even on Sternberger, and even though he's been hurt, they'll probably keep him around. He's the guy that got cheap shotted, right, in that Houston Texans practice. Somebody,
oh, right.
Yeah, and he like concussion and maybe damaged his jaw, broke his jaw, something like that. So he'll probably make it. The one that we might see happen that'd be a little bit of a surprise. Mercedes Lewis, I could see him being cut too. I know he's a good blocker. I know they want a blocking tight end. But when that guy's on the field, you know, you basically know that they're going to run because he's in there to block. And so a guy who's one-dimensional and he's an older guy, it wouldn't surprise me to see them let him go.
Yeah. That they say tight end is important in the Flores offense as well, but I'm tired of hearing that. They said that about McCarthy, and they never used the tight end, it felt like. So I'm actually surprised they're going to keep four. But, you know, again, these are kind of they're big athletic guys that are probably perfect for the special teams. So I could see them keeping four. I just hope that Tanyan gets some playing time as opposed to Jimmy Graham. And Jimmy Graham is a potential. Could they cut him, or would that be it just financially?
Yeah, I think they paid like a $5 million roster bonus when the league year started. And, I mean, $5 million in the NFL, whatever, you know. But I still think that they are going to – they made a decision on Jimmy Graham in the offseason, and I think they're going to see that through. Lewis, it just doesn't make sense to me to keep a guy. I think he's 35, maybe something like that, and he's one dimensional. I don't think he plays on special teams either. So I'm not sure why you'd keep that guy, but they seem to like having a tight end that can block.
Yeah.
And with Sternberger's concussion, who knows if he'll actually be ready to play when the season starts. So there's a lot of reason to think they might keep four, but I think that's a place where you could trim back a little bit. And I'm one of those guys that, you know, unless you've got a really good tight end, I don't know why you want to feature it in your offense. I mean, the guy from Kansas City that we'll see coming up on third – well, I guess we won't see him because he won't play. But I think his name is Kelsey. There's a few guys in the league – Jimmy Graham when he was younger, you know, who, yeah, you want to feature that in your offense. But if you don't have a guy like that, I don't know why you would want to have the tight end be a prominent part of the offense unless you really had a guy that could make a difference. And if you look at the roster and say, you know, we don't have that guy, then I wouldn't load up roster spaces on, you know, having mediocre players when you have a wide receiver situation, a running back situation, guys on the defensive side of the ball that you want to keep. I mean, those roster spaces are precious.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you have a really good tight end, you should feature it. I 100% agree.
You know, when the Packers...
You've missed that now twice.
Well, what happened?
That is my double entendre that I just... You have a really good tight end. Why can I not play that game too?
Well, it
jumped right out at me.
is that a part of the same?
Yeah, that
same,
it at me.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. But now that you mentioned, I'm a little uncomfortable. But
yeah.
Each his own, Dave. I guess.
You know. Oh yeah, thank you.
But I'm bummed. Yeah. Okay. And we were talking about the offensive line. I'm pretty sure, and that was an offensive line. To be sure, yes, it was. Dude from Athletic says they'll keep 9 on the offensive line. I could see a case for even 10 because those guys tend to get hurt, especially if your name is Brian Bulaga. Yeah. You can almost pencil that in. In fact, are we going over under on what game Bulaga will sustain an injury and not be available for at least a month?
Yeah, I got to think, what was it? I think we said second quarter. It was definitely in the first game. I might have second, you might have fourth quarter. They play the Bears first again, so I'm probably going to go second quarter again in the Bears game. Do you have a projection?
Well, you know, I would think second quarter would be good, but because you have chosen that, I'm almost tempted first quarter. I will go fourth quarter on Brian Bulaga injury that'll cost him at least a game.
Yeah. You could pick before the game starts. It's a possibility this week.
Well, maybe that could be one of our betting lines.
Falls off his bike. Yeah, I think we could. Yeah.
Well, you know, the way they do training camp, you know, he could have fallen off his bike. Although I guess the practices are now closed, right? So maybe there's no more biking.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw it early, but there it has been. I mean, they still do it, right?
I don't know. Do they still do the bikes when the practices are closed?
I don't know, but I mean, they. I don't. But they have done it in the preseason.
They've had
open practices. Yeah. Okay.
Well, didn't you see when J.J. Watt was in town?
Oh, that's yeah, right.
He broke the kid's bike.
I didn't see that.
Well, he's a big man.
Yes,
you know?
He is. Yes, he is. Whether it's however he's doing it, he's become a very big man. Yeah.
Yeah. Next, you'll talk about his tight end situation. So, anyway, they have or Matt from the Athletic has Bakhtiari, Lane Taylor, Lindsley, Billy Turner, the free agent they picked up, Bulaga for however long that lasts, Jenkins, Light, surprised me a little bit, McCray and Patrick. They have Cole Madison and Adam Pankey. Not making the roster, as well as I think the favorite of any Packer fan, DeBeer, also not making it. I am not in disagreement completely with this. I would like to see them keep 10, but I think 9 does make more sense. The question for me becomes whether or not Cole Madison is going to be able to make it to the practice squad. He had a couple of penalties in the Oakland game, not a good look. But, you know, the guy didn't play for a year, and he's coming back. I'm not sure if that taints him around the NFL, so no one would take a chance and pick him up, and Packers could put him on the practice squad. Or because he was a draft choice and does have some, you know, talent and potential, if somebody else would snap him up before the Packers could put him on the practice squad.
Yeah, Packers Wire has Cole Madison making it and Lucas Patrick not making it. Actually, McCray and Madison are the last two, McCray not making it, and Pankey off the list, but it says still in the mix. It's so hard to evaluate an offensive line. I have noticed, I felt that, at least when Boyle was playing, I felt the offensive line was doing pretty good in pass protection. I don't know if I felt that in years past, but it felt like the team was coming together. It sounds like Billy, someone had mentioned on one of the podcasts that Billy Turner might be kind of the steal of the offseason, that he's been very solid. But then I've seen that Jenkins playing a bit too. So I hope they've kind of improved their offensive line, give Rodgers some time and get a good running game going. I'm optimistic about that group.
I want to be honest. When they signed Billy Turner, I thought, why are you paying this guy $7 million a year? This is ridiculous. He's not that caliber of player. And now that I've seen the guy a little bit, I mean, I'm beginning to get why they like him. And I think the plan is probably then when the inevitable injury to Bulaga happens, they slide Turner over to tackle, and then they, you know, put Jenkins or whoever loses the Jenkins-Taylor battle, they will move that person over to guard. And that's why I think they should not release Lane Taylor. I know there's a lot of talk about that. You save some money. And why would you keep a guy at $2.8 million if he's not going to start? I think the reason you do is because you know Bulaga's going to get hurt, and you know you're going to need another starting caliber guard. So I think you keep both Jenkins and Taylor. You wait for Bulaga's injury. You move Turner over, and you plug in to that right guard spot with the loser of that battle. To me, it makes perfect sense, but if I had to bet on one surprise cut, it would be Lane Taylor on the 1st of September when the cuts are announced.
Do you think Bulaga could be a surprise cut?
Oh, that...
Again, the financial...
That's fascinating. I think they probably are already committed to at least a portion of his salary. And the thing is, they are a far better team when he's on the field. You just don't know how long he's going to be on the field for.
Yeah.
I would be shocked by that. But now that you raise it, I mean, there would be crazier things. But that would mean you'd have to start the season by putting Turner over there. That would have repercussions, too. Which one of the guys that are now listed as being on the outside, you know, would you fill in if you let one of those projected 9 offensive linemen go? That's interesting. I don't know if you do Adam Pankey or if you do Cole Madison at that point.
Yeah, it's you just kind of think in the future, and just I never saw when they cut Josh Sitton. That was a big surprise.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike Daniels of backside of their career, injury prone. You know, do they want to keep a I like the other guys, you know, would they do something like that? Just something trying to look for that surprise cut, and it could be. Could be.
I think Bulaga he's not as old as you think, because he's one of those guys who came out of college at like 20 years old. And I think, wasn't he one of the youngest starters in Super Bowl history? I think he might have been.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I think he's only like 29 or 30, but his body's probably more like your age, you know? So,
that's really unfair.
Yeah.
Hey, we should take a break now that we've made to the offense.
Exactly. I was just going to suggest the very same thing. And this gives us the opportunity to point out how dire our financial situation is at Packers Therapy. We're trying desperately hard to keep our microphones lit, but to keep ourselves lit as far as that goes. And to do that, we need money, specifically your money. And if you go to PayPal, and being that you are our pal and you'd like to pay us, you go there, and it's PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. And you decide how much of your estate you're going to give to Chris and Dave. We will take all of it if you'd like. Or if you just want to, you know, drop us $25 for the podcast, we'd appreciate that as well.
We can set up an estate, plan giving. We really can set up all the retirement options. There's lots of things to do to contribute to Packers Therapy.
Well, luckily, we know all the tricks in our line of work. So that's right. We would be happy to talk with you and your financial advisor about how you can make Packers Therapy a part of your estate plan. it's PayPal. It's PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, which is also our email address. And if you are so inclined, we'd be very grateful if you would send us a couple bucks. We would very much appreciate that. So with that commercial out of the way, we're going to stop, pause, refill our drinks, recalibrate, and be back with more Chris and Dave and more Packers Therapy in just a bit. Chris and Dave back with more Packers Therapy. You know, when the game blows and the field is a disaster, you talk about the roster, and that's what we're doing. We're halfway through using as our guide Matt Schneidman from The Athletic. On Saturday morning, he put out his projections for what the Packers' final 53 might look like. And so we're going through that. We're deconstructing it and making it a complete farce for Matt. We're on the defense now. We're always on the defense if you're on Packers Therapy. Five is what Matt thinks they will carry. Of course, Kenny Clark is one of his five. Montrevious Adams, Dean Lowry, who heads up the fine business school at Northwestern. Tyler Lancaster, who limped off the field, I think, during the so-called game in Winnipeg. And they have, or Matt has, as his final of the five, Kingsley Keke, which is one of the finer names on the Packers roster. And then not making it, Fidel Brown, who I think was the communist dictator of Cuba. James Loney and Dean Simon, who I think is a head of a lesser business school, and the former Badger. I hate to say former Badger. Once a Badger, always a Badger, and such is the case with Olive Sopolo. So what do you think about those five defensive linemen that he chooses? Do you think they will have a sixth, I think is my question for you.
The Packers Wire does. They have Fidel Brown staying on the team. Five or six, I guess I don't have a really strong opinion. I am surprised after Kenny Clark, or what seems to be probably our second best defensive lineman, is now Montrevious Adams. It feels weird that Mike Daniels is not on this team, and you kind of shift everyone down. But I am really excited to see Kingsley Keke play. He's against second and third string. He looks really, really solid. I don't know the status of Lancaster, if that could impact this list, but I think the five that's listed makes sense to me. Between Brown and Looney and Simon and Olive, I don't know if they stand out to me at all. Now, Fidel Brown, he played with them last year, right? He was
kind of a fill-in. Brought on late in the season. I want to say maybe his first game might have been the one that we sat through with Arizona. It was the Arizona game that we sat through in the crappy weather. Yeah. I think they might have picked him up from the Raiders, I want to say, perhaps. Anyway, he came on and played pretty well for them, I believe, down the stretch. He's been hurt, though, in the preseason, and I think that's why, because he hasn't had a lot of playing time, why they think he might be on the outside looking in. But he is the one guy that And I don't know what he looks like in practice. Maybe he's not as injured as it appears. He's the one guy I think they might go with a sixth defensive lineman, and it might be him.
Yeah, the comment in PacWire, Brown returned to practice this week. Give him 2 weeks to pick up where he left off after a strong start to camp. The one that you're reading off of, I like that the comment. It makes me feel a bit better. This is Adams has constantly disrupted backfields during the preseason and figures to be an X factor for the defensive line and should complement Clark. So that's good. I haven't noticed that as much, but I hope this is a breakout year for him. He was a high draft pick.
Third round, I think.
Third? Okay, yeah. So you'd like to see some of those thirds become really impactful players. So we'll see.
I think a lot does come down to Lancaster's situation. I've not seen any injury reports. You know, it's really amazing. It's not just Mike McCarthy. I think it's the NFL generally. They're not giving up anything. You know, so it remains to be seen if he's significantly injured or not. But even if he's a little bit questionable for the first couple weeks, you probably want to carry a six there. So that's kind of my thought.
Okay.
Outside linebacker. Of course, the Smiths, will be making the roster. I imagine Morrissey with the Smiths, of course. Mm-hmm. Rashawn Gary and Kyler Fackrell are the four that Matt from The Athletic thinks will make the squad. Obviously, you know, you have to have Rashawn Gary. He's your top pick. He did make a tackle this week. That was nice to see. And got injured twice. The second time, I guess he got his head pushed back, which not a good thing. But I guess you have to carry him, right? Because he is your top draft choice.
Yeah. Has that ever happened? Has someone cut their first-round draft pick?
Wow. I'd be hard-pressed to think of a case. It would have to go back a long way.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe some of our listeners might be able to think of the last time they can recall a first-round draft choice not making the roster. That would be interesting. It'd have to be something egregious, I would think. Armed robbery.
Yeah, I was going to say behavioral or something. Yeah, they would. Yeah, yeah. There are a few that probably we should have. Some of the really bad picks. Who is the defensive end from Florida State?
Reynolds.
Jamal Reynolds.
Jamal Reynolds. And also the defensive lineman from a couple of seasons ago, Justin Harrell.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, those guys probably shouldn't have made it. They did. They hung around for a while because they're a first round choice. I don't know if Rashawn Gary's going to be like that. He's learning a new position. He's athletic AF, as the kids like to say these days. I'm wondering about Reggie Gilbert. Gilbert is a guy who is on the outside, according to Matt from The Athletic. He is Mr. August. I will give him that. But just four outside linebackers, that's interesting. I wonder if Gilbert's a guy that they wouldn't consider carrying.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to do that. Fackrell, the funny thing with this list is Fackrell is listed probably as your fourth on the depth chart, and he had double-digit sacks last year.
Yeah, 10 and a half. Yeah.
And they had him playing in Winnipeg, so they were willing to put your sack leader out on the field, so that must show how high they place him. But I think the four, Gilbert doesn't seem to show up in the season. August is his best month. I guess I'm not willing to go down that route again.
You remember that old movie, I think it was a World War II movie called They Were Expendable. And that's kind of how I feel about the guys who had to play in Winnipeg. They were expendable.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And the injuries of them, I guess we get to the inside linebackers. There's probably, of all the injuries, there's probably the one that I really like to see is Curtis Bolton.
Yeah.
I liked him, and now they have on your list him going on the IR. Right away. So he's out for sure?
Well, he hasn't been put on the IR yet. Dude from The Athletic is expecting that's what they will do, is they will put him immediately on IR, kind of as a red shirt or a stash kind of situation, even though he probably won't need the full season to get better. It's just the sort of thing where he's going to be out long enough where you can let him get healthy and develop him and then have him come back and be a force the following year. And that's not an altogether bad idea. They're not paying him a lot of money. So why not, kind of stash him on the IR. But at the same time, you know, you got Oren Burks, who is out again. He does seem to have a little bit of an injury thing going on with him, and you really can't count on him. Ty Summers played better, I thought, in this game than he had in the previous game. He had 10 tackles in Winnipeg, and I don't think he had maybe more than one, perhaps, missed tackle. He was falling off guys all the time in the second game. So he was better, and I guess I'm okay. He would wind up probably being your starting inside linebacker alongside Blake Martinez in the first game. And the other guy that they have making the roster is James Crawford, who is a terrific special teams player. But when I see him play from scrimmage, other than the fact that his hair looks fantastic, other than that, I'm not excited about his play from scrimmage. And I don't know that they have a better option. The other one is Brady Sheldon, who had, and I don't know how far you watched your condensed version, but he had an absolutely fantastic tackle late in the game. It was probably inside of 2 or 3 minutes, and the Packers sideline just erupted, and the guys on the field, and naturally he was called for a penalty for tackling with his head down.
Yeah, I did see that.
It was perfect.
Yeah, I don't even think he was bent over hardly. I mean, it might have hit his helmet first, but sometimes it's the offensive player that's initiating the contact. Yeah, I thought that was ridiculous, but I saw how they really got jacked up for that hit, and you know, actually, all three of those guys kind of seem very similar to me: Summers, Bolton, and Sheldon. I get them very confused. They all seem to have 40 something on their jersey. I wonder of those that make it, but yeah, you see Ty Summers a lot on defense. He's fast. I'm hoping he's better in coverage than Blake Martinez. You know, if we're playing one of these kind of scat backs on third down, with his speed, can he stay with someone more than Blake Martinez does? I'd feel more comfortable if Oren Burks had a good camp and a good preseason. He is a complete wild card. He, remember, his measurables were awesome, but he didn't really... He played terrible last year, I think, early.
Yeah. Well, he was hurt in preseason last year. He hurt his shoulder warming up for one of the games.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, but then he did play some, and I felt like there was a lot of big gains, running plays and things where he was supposed to be. So I don't know what you got with Oren Burks.
Yeah, I mean, now it's the torn pectoral. Usually that's like a full season injury, but his will not need surgery. So it sounds like he's going to be one of those guys going to make the team, then going to go on IR for half the season, essentially. It's 8 weeks. And that will probably open the door maybe for, you know, Brady Sheldon. Maybe they'll try to bring him back once they put Burks on IR. I think he's one of those guys, maybe like Kevin King, who we'll talk about in a minute, who's, when he's on the field, he's a good player. But he's just not on the field enough to really – make a difference, and maybe that's, you know, what Burks's fate is going to be. He's got all the measurables and the athleticism. It just hasn't converted, either because of his injury situation or because maybe he's one of those guys who's, you know, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane.
You know, it's funny, Packers Wire, before the injury, they had Bolton making the team over Summers because of his tackling. But now, you know, that kind of opens up the slot for him. So, right, anyway, exactly. I don't know if I would have noticed that Bolton was having a stronger preseason than Summers, but they're very similar to me. But
I totally agree with that. And Bolton, I thought when he did play the second game, I want to say, he looked really, really good. And Summers looked better in the second game, and he also didn't get hurt. So those guys are... I don't want to say they're interchangeable, but I'm going to say they're interchangeable. At cornerback, then. We were talking about Kevin King a second ago. They have him making the roster. He's not played. I don't believe he's played in the preseason at this point. But they have him and Alexander, Tremont Williams, of course. Tony Brown, a guy who I really warmed up to. He's a guy that I think he was also at the Dr. Klaus game with us in early December. I think Tony Brown, that may be one of his earlier games with the Packers. Josh Jackson, and this is a little bit of a surprise, but not too much. Kadar Holman, who I think was a draft choice. They have him making it over Chandon Sullivan, who had, I think, a terrific game. Now, he had four pass blockups, or blockups, breakups.
Yeah, I think you say that, people are like, oh, you're quite the specialist. You must know what you're talking about. Just roll with it. Blockups.
Yeah. So with those four blockups that he had, but he also had a pass interference penalty, as I recall, and also I think they caught a couple of explosive plays against him. So it was a mixed bag, but the guy did show up, and I thought he was interesting. But they have Holman being the guy who makes the squad ahead of Sullivan. That seems to be the biggest battle. Some of these other guys, Ento, I believe, is a converted wide receiver. He'll need time on the practice squad if they're going to stay with him. But I don't think there's a lot of controversy among the cornerbacks, keeping six, and then it's kind of a Holman-Sullivan toss-up.
Yeah, the surprise cut here, I think, could be Tremont Williams. The only time I remember Williams, there was it a play against the Texans or the other – I forget who they played the second game. This is going to be a problem of my memory as I'm aging here. But him just kind of completely flying off a wide receiver he was trying to tackle. I like Tremont Williams as a corner. You know, he's definitely an older guy.
he definitely is. He's 36, I think.
So he would be one of those maybe a year too soon, but – you got to have some. I mean, if you kept got rid of Tremont Williams, and everyone is his first or second year player. It looks. Yeah. I mean, Kevin King maybe a third year, but everyone is really young.
He hasn't played enough to be a third year, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, maybe you want Tremont just as and he could be a safety as a backup as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I think the corners. I'm excited for the corners this year. They all seem faster. I just would love to see Kevin King stay healthy and see what you have with Alexander and King. I think Alexander could have a breakout year. This, if we get a pass rush to help out as well, this could be a really good defense.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued. I think the issue might be the pass rush on defense. I think they've got guys in the backside of the defense that can play the pass. I'm just not certain that they're going to be able to get enough pressure on the quarterback to help out those guys playing coverage.
Maybe not with four, but I like our defensive coordinator. These guys are fast. I think we'll create pressure with scheme, and you know, if we can get third down off the field, I think we can do better this year on defense. I am optimistic.
I think there's reason to be optimistic. You know, I think a lot more talent than what they've had. And I guess to close this out with the safeties, this is an example of where they've added talent. I mean,
This is the biggest change, probably.
Yeah, you know, Darnell Savage. I like Raven Green the little bit that I've seen of the guy. Of course, Amos is going to play. People want to pump the brakes a little bit on him. He will be a lot more steady figure, but he's not going to be Nick Collins back there. He's not going to be Leroy Butler back there. He's going to be, you know, a solid, consistent guy. So even though he was signed as a free agent and paid good money, and will be an upgrade over HaHa Clinton Dix probably, he's not going to be a guy who's going to, you know, change things dramatically as a playmaker back there. But still, solid. The one guy who is intriguing, and I believe we saw him play last year too, is Ibrahim Campbell. He's right now on the PUP list. They have him making the team, and I imagine then probably being put on IR because he's coming off an ACL injury. And that, to me, is interesting. So if they do that, if they put him on the active roster at the end of camp and then put him on the IR so he can continue to heal from his ACL, then it opens up the door for Josh Jones, who I think he's out with illness right now. I think the illness is he wants off the team.
Yeah. I think a poor attitude. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. I heard a guy on a baseball post game show, you know, how the Brewers always will take guys and they mysteriously show up on the injured list after a bad outing. And yeah. So the guy said, yeah, he's on the injured list with an inflamed ERA. You know, so I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, Josh Jones is I think they're looking to trade him. He'll probably wind up getting cut because everyone knows that he wants out, so they'll just wait for him to show up on the waiver wire. I want Natrell Jamerson, Dave, in the worst way. You know, Badger guys, I want these guys to do well. He just doesn't look like an NFL caliber player, and so I think he'll definitely be cut. Mike Tyson was a world boxing heavyweight champion, but not that much of a safety as far as I can tell. And Trey Matthews, who I think is Clay Matthews, just coming back with a different name. Trey, he should have done a better job. CM3 should have done a better job than coming up with Trey as his alias.
Yeah.
So the safeties really kind of thin back there, but like you said, they can always shift Tremont back there if they need to.
Yeah, and who's going to tell Mike Tyson he's cut?
I'm guessing somebody that doesn't care about their ear much.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It'd have to be someone very fast. I hope he does have his tiger with him. I think this is the biggest upgrade from last year. You know, our two starters are not even on the team.
That's right.
It's but here's Darnell Savage. I have no idea what he's going to bring to the table. I don't recall him making big plays.
He made one play against the Ravens.
Was it just a tip ball, though? Right.
Well, it was coverage. It was down the left sideline. And he kind of rode the receiver, who I think might have been a tight end. He rode him out of bounds. The guy was right in his pocket so that he could not make the play, and it wound up being a pass breakup along the sideline. That's the only thing I've seen from him in the preseason, but damn, I was impressed with what he did on that play.
Now, I wonder if some of these guys, you know, when they play the Bears, their running back they have now, the really quick guy. You know, if we kind of look at this defense, do we have guys that can run with him? I just keep thinking of like AJ Hawk not being able to pivot and cover this guy at all. You know, if you have a Summers, any of these safeties, are they faster? I think Savage was fast, right? I think he's I don't know if he would be in coverage necessarily on a running back, but you know, can we
probably
kind
not
of...
on a running back? No, he's I think they have him playing.
Is he deep safety?
More, yeah, I think they have him more at the free safety.
Okay. Yeah, but it feels like everyone you mentioned here, as we went through it, that we're faster, kind of getting faster and faster each year. Let's keep our fingers crossed. People stay healthy, and some of these people reach their potential. I'm not going to miss Josh Jones. I think he had one game against the Bengals last year, the year before, that he had a couple sacks, and other than that, he just never kind of pulled it together.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. What did they say about Randy Moss in Minnesota? Is it programmatic non-fit? I think that was the term, and I think it just may be one of those deals where, you know, he doesn't want to be there. His performance has not been great. It's a bad influence in the locker room. They're going to part ways, but they're trying to do it differently than, say, when Mike McKenzie wanted out of Green Bay back in the day. I think they're just trying to keep it all very sub rosa. It'll be interesting, but I don't expect to see Jones on the final roster, and quite frankly, it probably won't be a big loss. He's got talent, and maybe he needs to be someplace else where he's more comfortable and they're more comfortable with him.
You can go to New England and be an all-pro.
Which is what he'll do, yep. and that's what those guys do. I mean, they see talent and they're able to put it together, and it's somewhat like almost like the baseball Cardinals. It seems like guys tend to go there and rejuvenate their careers, and New England just seems to be that for the last 20 years in the NFL.
Yeah, it's sickening.
So among the specialists, it looks like Mason Crosby has beaten out Sam Ficken, which is a damn shame because I was looking forward to saying that name.
Yeah.
but I'm guessing that if for some reason they shock us and they cut Mason Crosby, by the time they make that announcement, he'll be signing a deal in Chicago, where I understand they have auditioned 9 kickers for the Bears. I mean, this is a problem for them, and whoever doesn't make it on the Packers, I think, will wind up in Chicago. I mean, Ficken looks pretty good. He had a 63-yarder in family night, plenty of leg. He's got some accuracy. So I'm guessing he's out in Green Bay, but probably going to be in Chicago.
Mm. Oh, I as much as if they had a better kicker, I'm not opposed to cutting Crosby, but if Crosby immediately went to the Bears, that would feel bad to me. I don't want to see that happen.
We've already seen it happen, right, with Ryan Longwell going to Minnesota.
Yeah, that was sick. But Ficken going to Chicago, you know, it just fits him doinking off the goalposts, and his name comes into play just so perfectly. And have you seen him? I want to make fun of him, but in case he makes the team, and it's really unfair, but I even Googled it to see if it was a thing, but he has a particularly large feature on his face. Have you noticed this?
I have not Googled it, but you know I'm going to now.
you don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
Just look at his picture.
Okay, well, let me do a Google search here. This is one of those great... Oh. Well, if this is... He didn't look so bad. Let me see here.
Look, it's far be it from me to...
He was with the Rams?
Was he? I don't know.
Yeah, Sam Ficken. Kind of a handsome man. What do you... Oh, you're thinking about his nose?
His nose, yes.
Well, he looks like a boxer back in the 50s.
Oh,
but he's got the square jaw and his hair is just right. Yeah, he's kind of a good-looking man, Dave.
Okay. Well, I thought he took his helmet off and I was like, "Whoa." And then I Googled Ficken and nose, and there was a few things that mentioned it, so it wasn't just me kind of noticing it. But I don't want to bring it up at all unless he plays for the Bears. Then we
and
can.
And then it's going to be open season.
Yeah, he's got the nose for the goalpost.
it's Sam the Nose Ficken. Yeah, in case he's ever a mobster. Yeah.
You can Ficken your nose. You can Ficken your friends.
Well, and then of course we come down to the last two specialists. I got to say, J.K. Scott wasn't just kidding around with that 47-yard average he had. In Winnipeg, the guy has looked great all preseason. He's got no competition for punter, and he doesn't seem to need it because the guy's been really solid. But again, we'll see how he looks in November and December. That's when it's really going to matter. And of course, Hunter Bradley is going to be your long snapper again this year. So that's kind of how the Packer roster is shaping up, with one practice game to play. And then set the September 1st cutdown deadline looming. And I guess there is just one cutdown this year. I know there had been a couple of cutdowns in the past.
Right. And we debated whether that was a good move for players. But on the one hand, you can see your guys longer, but it gives the ones that cut less of a chance to maybe pick up on another team. But it's not my profession, so I don't know which one's better than the other. But so one cut, and when did you say it's September 1st?
Yeah, 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock.
It'll be interesting.
September 1st, yep.
So if you had to pick one surprise, what would you pick?
I think I'm going to go, in terms of like my guess, what will be the big surprise?
Yes.
Okay. I'm still thinking that they're going to cut Lane Taylor.
Lane Taylor's okay.
I don't think that's a smart thing, but I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. If I think I'm going to go Tremont Williams. I'm going to do Tremont Williams.
Oh, my God. That would be shocking.
You think so, huh? Well, that's why it's surprising. Geronimo Allison. Right. I think it's...
No, that would also be... That would be a bigger surprise because he's younger.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's projected to be their number three guy. The quarterback likes him. That would be even more surprising.
I would say, you know, I don't think Kizer would be a surprise, but I think that'll be the story. The headline is Kizer,
right,
Boyle either making or not. Yep.
Right.
So it'll be interesting.
You know, that'll be as surprising as us coming back for yet another podcast following the Kansas City preseason game. That would be shocking.
That would be. But stranger things have happened. 15 years.
I know. It's just for some reason we keep coming back. I don't know. Okay, we had a couple of tweets after the game. Pastor Kevin checked in with us. John from the U.K., he's from Scotland, living in England, I think is what the deal is. I should know that by now because I think John's been listening since like the very first season. So anyway, I had to mention that John checked in on Twitter because he's one of our guys. He's one of the longtime listeners. Let me see, a couple emails too that we want to acknowledge. And we mentioned Pedro the Trash Man being in touch with us. He has an idea, Dave, and I don't know what you think of this idea, but the third down sounder, and we've been a little critical about the USS Green Bay Foghorn. It's exactly. Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you have gas?
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I fell asleep while you were talking.
Well, you know, me too.
Yeah.
So anyway, he doesn't think our idea of having the sound of a beer can being opened on third down. He thinks that should come as a celebration sound. So what Pedro the Trashman is saying, on third down they should blast the creak of a refrigerator door or cooler opening up, and use some cartoon graphics on the Jumbotron of a hand reaching in. Now, if the Packers make a stop on third down, then you have the opening of the can as a celebration. If they don't, then you have the graphic of the hand being made to stop by being slapped away from the cooler, so you don't get your beer. I see you working, Pedro. I like the idea. I just don't see it happening.
Or you pull out a wine cooler or, you know, something else. The sound could be like the hand stirring the ice, and like ice is stirring. I think it's a great idea. And then until someone gets
in a wine cooler, which is fantastic.
Zima.
Oh, God. That would be perfect. Or maybe a tab. You pull a tab from the cooler.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Or
you could go like the Budweiser versus Miller, but I don't think we can claim the plus, that's a little close to home, literally, for me. But they're both international companies now, so I don't know if that really makes a difference anymore.
I think we looked that up. Aren't they owned by the same, you know, conglomerate, some international conglomerate in South Africa that owns both of them now?
And that Brazilian company, I think, is for Budweiser. I think we did talk about it. I don't remember if it is, because I haven't seen Budweiser and Miller, like so-and-so, a Budweiser Miller company or something. Anyway, but I love that idea. Although the first drunk driving accident on the way home, that's...
Oh, yeah.
But it is Wisconsin, and the top 10 drunkest cities in America, 7 of them are in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I think of the top 20, I want to say half of the top 20 drunkest cities in America were in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so, there's... We could have the baseball team called the Brewers, so I suppose there's really very little litigation risk on this thing. So I think it's a wonderful idea. I think people would get so pumped for it. I don't know. I don't know who do we got to contact to get this idea in?
I think you talk to the most powerful people in America. You contact Apple, obviously.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we always contact iChuck, who checked in from Paris, where he is now stationed working for Apple. He said he learned how to subscribe to the NFL Game Pass International. So he could have watched the game, but he said thanks to our breakdown, he's decided to skip it. And he wants to know if that was a good decision. Yes. You're in the city of light, my friend. I would say just go ahead and enjoy that and wait until the Bears game that's coming up.
You know, it's funny, though. Okay. He makes it sound like it's hard for him to get access when, you know, he's looking at everyone through their phones, their iPads, and has all the dirt on everybody. I thought it was kind of funny that he seemed to think that it was a little bit difficult for him to get access to the game.
So you think he's hanging with Pete Colshorn, the guy who, quote, some kind of agricultural affairs minister, attaché? Yeah, we know what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. It's our data privacy. He's watching me right now, probably through my phone. That's
Did you see Pete's tweet this past week?
Which one?
And, it was following our conversation last week about him being a spy with his job with the government. And he said that we shouldn't worry about, you know, people that are taking shots at Pastor Kevin or other people because he's monitoring their tweets. He said here, the reply was, "Don't worry, I'll be monitoring the feed."
Okay, good.
Pete is a good man regardless of what he does and how many people he's killed. It doesn't matter.
No.
So getting back to iChuck here, he has two thoughts he's chiming in with. Packers playing vanilla schemes to just out playing fake games, but you guys are on midseason form, especially with double entendres. We're working on it, iChuck. That's what we're all about here on Packers Therapy. And then he actually has what I would consider to be a serious tweet. He came across an interesting podcast. And last week, Dave, you mentioned a podcast that you listened to, A16Z.
Right.
Yeah, okay. This was a podcast iChuck is talking about, one that I have actually subscribed to, and I actually haven't listened to any of them yet, but I have been subscribing. It's Against the Rules by Michael Lewis.
Right.
Have you been listening to this, Dave?
So I did listen to one through the Malcolm Gladwell podcast. I think he either interviewed Michael Lewis or it was attached to it, but it did make me listen to it. I think the one he recommended, I did listen to kind of the it's all about referees, right? Isn't it?
Right. Yep.
I thought it was going to be more of sports in general, but apparently it's just particularly on reffing, which is pretty interesting. So I did like it a lot. I subscribed to it. It's just so many things to listen to. It's just
it really is hard.
And they're quality stuff. I mean, when we started, it was all amateur, and
for us, it still is.
Yeah. But now you've got people who are really. I mean, like Conan O'Brien has a podcast that I like listening to, and people are getting very, very good at the medium. So I have it there. I'm sure I would love to listen to it. I need to retire. So I can spend time with my podcasts and Netflix and video games. Yeah,
I was talking to your boss, and he thinks you need to retire too.
Yeah,
so,
well,
yeah.
He probably thinks I have.
Hey, one of the things, the first point I'll make is that podcasting. When we started, it was for shits and grins. It still is for us. We haven't grown or developed, but around us, around the podcasting sphere. A lot of good stuff, a lot of good content out there. I don't need to put on my radio. I've got so many podcasts to listen to when I drive places. There is no shortage of long-form content. That's just terrific. I'm gratified that we still get 9,000 or 10,000 downloads when there are so many really good podcasts, not just about the Packers, but about all kinds of interesting things in the world. And getting back to the Against the Rules podcast, what iChuck said was, in general, it's about fairness in the world and how the referees in the real world work, things like markets, law, and, of course, in sports. So anyway, I think that's a very fascinating topic. And again, I've downloaded the whole thing. I haven't listened to it yet. But Michael Lewis has done some really good work in a variety of spheres, including Moneyball. And so anything that he has his name attached to it, I'm automatically interested. But if this gets iChuck's endorsement, I think I'm going to be redoubling my efforts to make sure I get a chance to listen to that thing. Yeah.
And if you like Michael Lewis, you should read Liar's Poker. That's
yes.
A classic.
I think was that his first book?
I think it was. I think that's when he wrote it and then ended up quitting because he was on the desk in Wall Street. And it's the stories of that. And some of them are just insane. And I can attest that none of that surprises me. But interesting stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a great book.
Yeah, I have a lot of regard for Michael Lewis. I read a number of things, including Liar's Poker, and good stuff. Chris, checking in from Phoenix. Chris, formerly of SoCal, and living in Scottsdale now, I think, as a matter of fact. And he checked in again with us this week. One of the things he mentioned, pop culture-wise, was Mindhunters, which I know we've discussed in the past on the podcast. He said he watched season 2, liked season 1 more. And he's also recommending something called Hyperdrive on Netflix. He says it's American Ninja Warrior meets car racing. So now I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
So that's Hyperdrive on Netflix. It's a recommendation from our regular correspondent checking in from Scottsdale. That's Chris. So thank you, Chris, for that. And we would be remiss if we did not acknowledge an email that we got from Detective Sergeant Superintendent Inspector Andy Mundy driving around his, quote, mail truck in central Kansas. He checked in with us this week to just say he's he's got his eyes on us. And, you know, when you're in law enforcement the way he is, you got to respect that. I think he probably hangs out with Pete Colshorn. I'm not sure. These guys have all of these nefarious pasts.
What bothers me is when I go into the living room and turn the light on and he's sitting in the chair. It gets me every time. It's so – and then he just leaves. It's just – it's awkward, but it's getting a little old.
It's one of my favorite things that you see repeatedly. It never gets old that the guy who walks into the darkened room, there's someone sitting there, you know.
That's right.
And usually it's a private eye, but it could be a bad guy, and they have this discussion, and guy's gone.
Yeah,
you know?
That's. I'd rather you tweet. Like, just you don't have to keep doing that. And then, like Batman, you turn away, and you look back, he's gone.
It's like Kaiser Soze. He's gone. So anyway, I just wanted to – I already responded to Andy via email. He writes with a – he's typically very thoughtful emails he sends to us. So just wanted to acknowledge Andy. Thanks for being in touch, and thanks for making sure that you've been able to skim off some of the money from the mail that you've been collecting and sending it to PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, PayPal. Thank you for your illegal activities, and I'm sure you'll be rewarded with 20 years in a federal penitentiary. That kind of covers that. Do you have any pop culture you want to get to or anything else? I lost money for you this past week. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you 3 out of 4, even the home run one, which
I know.
So I'm not.
It was going to be 15-14 game, Dave. How was I going to know that?
That was the over under on that game was 10 runs total, and it was the actual was 29. I don't know if you've ever been that bad on the betting lines.
Never.
It's baseball. It's not football or bass. So we'll have to stick to Packers, and I might have to overrule you and just rely on your judgment. I do have a pop culture, and I think it's something that's going to be developing through the season, is what to do about Disney Plus. I've got Netflix. I've got Amazon Prime. I've got Hulu. Then there's Showtime, HBO. And I actually even have a system that when I rotate through shows, I try to like go through the list, because otherwise I end up just getting completely just frozen on like what to watch next. So that helps me kind of narrow it down. I'm going to pick an Amazon show. I'm going to pick an HBO show. But here, coming along the path, is Disney Plus. I don't think you'll probably be a subscriber, Chris. I will be a subscriber right away, because the trailer just came out for The Mandalorian, which is a live-action Star Wars TV show.
Oh, God.
The trailer looks amazing. It looks better than the movies. It's so cool. And if you like Star Wars...
Great phrase, yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah. No, please continue.
I'm telling you,
I'm fascinated. I'm engrossed by your commentary.
That was so, and I saw another. They had a live action movie of they're doing Lady of the Tramp with real dogs, but I mean the quality of the shows on this thing look amazing. They have all kinds of Marvel stuff. It's going to be a thing, Chris. This is not. In case you're not aware, Disney's intellectual property is quite good.
I don't doubt that for a second.
So, and now they'll have their own TV show, and I don't even think there's a price high enough that won't make me subscribe. So, if you like if you're thinking about that, I'd be curious what people are going to do with that decision, because what falls back if I have another, not just a show, but a whole lineup of shows? It's going to be a problem.
Well, it is a problem right now. There's just so much really good content out there. We're talking about podcasts before, but you know, when it comes to television, there's a lot of great documentaries out there, as well as just the scripted shows. Terrific stuff all the way around. Was watching something. I think it's called The Confession Tapes. I think it's a Netflix thing, and it's about people that confess to crimes they didn't commit.
Oh, and interesting.
It's a whole series of these things, and oftentimes, most of the time, these convictions stand, and they wind up sometimes in jail for 40 years for things that they acknowledge later they didn't do, but they were under the impression that somehow that if they just confessed, they get a deal, it would be a better situation than having to go to trial where they could have greater risks of getting convicted. And the thing that is unique, I shouldn't say unique, things that are common for each one of these confessions, No one had a lawyer with them. So here's my advice to our listeners at Packers Therapy, because I know a lot of our listeners face this very situation. When you are arrested, not if you are arrested, we know you will be.
Especially in Wisconsin.
Exactly. When you are arrested, the first thing you do is call a lawyer, always. Do not, hey, we just want to bring you in for a little interview, a little questioning. No, lawyer, that's what you do, unlike these poor saps that thought they could just kind of go in and they'll admit to whatever to make this over. A lot of these people, Dave, who thought that if I just tell them what they want to hear, they'll let me go home.
Well, look at Making a Murderer. Right?
Yeah. Brandon Dassey is the prime example. But that isn't a unique situation. This routinely happens, and they have all these, you know, videos of, you know, police kind of working these folks to a confession. And the police are so certain that these confessions are real, even when afterwards evidence comes out that debunks it, they're still certain about this.
Well, you know, one along that line is, forgive me if I get this, is it the Central Park 5? Central Park 4?
Five. I think it's five.
Yeah, and that documentary. It wasn't a documentary. It was a fictionalized version of it. And exactly. I remember I was living in New York in 1995, and I was in Central Park, and I saw one of these sort of flash mob kind of things where, no one got seriously hurt, but there's a lot of grabbing at purses and pulling shirts down and stuff like that. It was really terrifying. I kind of knew what was going to be happening with this, but I didn't know all the details. And it was just really my perspective from when I sort of experienced it on the one end, and I was really scared about it. But then seeing what these poor kids went through, it was a fascinating show. I think it was just I think it was a miniseries on either Amazon, Hulu, or Netflix. Did you see that one?
No, I heard about it and read about it when it came out, but I did not see it.
Yeah, it's very, very good. You know the story and how it ends and everything.
Right, sure, of course, yeah.
I mean, one poor kid was just waiting for his friend. And he was one that went to the federal prison because he was over 18, or he was of age that he had to go to a non-juvenile facility. It's fascinating. That's another along those lines. Call your lawyer. Don't do questioning without a lawyer.
Oh man, it's absolutely heartbreaking, and also it's sad that some people aren't savvy enough to know, you know, what's happening to them and how they're being manipulated, and they think this is an easy way out, and it winds up costing them essentially their life. Even though they're maybe not executed, their life winds up 10, 20, 30 years in prison as a result of some really bad judgment. So
yeah.
You were talking before about Disney Plus. Is that
what
it is? Yeah. Okay. Did I mention? I don't think I did last week on the podcast. I went with our friend Big Snake Man. We went over to watch a minor league baseball game, and along the way, he mentioned YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he has gotten rid of his cable, and he is going with YouTube TV. Which in my area gets 114 channels for like $50 a month, something like that. And I'm paying considerably more than that for the cable service that I have. And I'm wondering, you know, you get something like this as sort of your baseline, right, a YouTube TV. Then you subscribe your Hulu, your Netflix. I put all those things together. And if I was you, Disney Plus, whatever, the CBS All Access, I'm still going to be paying less with all of those add-ons than I am for my cable TV.
So, are you serious? Yeah. Well, the first thing you ought to do is call your cable company and say, I want to cancel my cable TV unless you give me a deal. And you'll watch that thing sink. You should at least give that a try if you like the convenience of having cable and other things. But I have DirecTV to watch the Packers. I pay through the nose for DirecTV, but it is also it's my login for HBO and Showtime. I guess I am paying for those services through that. But I think I'm paying way too much, and it all has to – I would be shutting down my DirecTV if it wasn't for the NFL games. But, someone needs to have a service where you put in what you want and tell you where you live, and then they can optimize your – you know, what you're viewing, because I think I'm probably paying for DirecTV and all those channels. There's Amazon Prime. There's so much I'm paying, and they're small monthly charges, and they sneak through. I think an optimizations program of some sort would be really, really helpful for me.
Yeah, it would be for me as well. I mean, I would have to do HBO Go. I'd probably have to do the Showtime equivalent.
Yep.
Netflix.
Yep.
Hulu.
Would you do Amazon? We probably have Amazon Prime anyway, right?
Right. Right. But still, you have to pay, you know, for certain additional things like Amazon when they have some of their premium shows. So I would go that way. And I guess what I would be missing, I don't really watch that much ESPN.
No.
I watch, you know, the Brewers in the summertime, and you know, I'd have to get that service. But otherwise, you know, I mean, things that you think you'd need AMC, for instance, you know, when Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, you can probably get those through one of the other streaming services.
Even if you have Apple TV or Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
No commercials.
So I'm not sure I would even need to have, you know, this package of 70 plus channels. I would rather have an a la carte option that way. Yeah. I'd still have to pay, of course, for, you know, high speed internet to be able to make any of this stuff work.
Right. Yeah. That's where your cable company will still be in business, because, there really is no reason to have cable TV. I mean, we watch Big Brother still with my daughter, and we love watching it. But I have it on the DVR, but I'm so frustrated with the commercials. We buy it through Apple TV, so it just can go right through the commercials, which is a complete waste of money. But I've got to somehow figure out my viewing options. I just need more time.
Well, you know, once your boss forces you into retirement, you should have no problem at all finding more time.
Well, then the depression sets in, and then I'll have other things to worry about. Yeah.
Yes, your drug and drinking abuse that'll come with that.
Yeah, and there's so much drugs and alcohol.
There are
so much to choose from.
You can always go to Vegas and hit a dispensary if things get really rough.
I'll ask you for your advice when I get there.
Okay. Well, and I can help you. Yeah. So anyway. I think that's what will wrap this podcast for this time around. Thursday, Packers will play against Kansas City. Okay, now turn your head and cough the other way, please.
No, okay. Sorry. I actually knew you were going to say that. I thought Klaus was going to come up at that moment.
Well, I hate that part of the exam, I got to tell you. So we'll be back with Packers Therapy a week or so hence. I think probably they play on Thursdays. They don't cut down until Sunday, September 1st. So I'm not sure exactly how we're going to work the podcast next week, if we'll wait until after the cuts and then make a statement, because I can't imagine that there's going to be anything of interest that's going to come out of this game next Thursday. I mean, it's at home. But I don't think anyone of interest is going to play. It's going to be guys making a last-ditch effort to make the club. We will be back with a podcast, we promise you. But we might wait to do it until after the final cuts are made on September 1st. So one way or the other, we are going to be back. But it's going to be maybe 10 days until the next podcast. At any event, I want you to be aware that I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that is Packers Therapy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.